The International Mastermind Association is a group of like-minded individuals who have come together based on the mastermind concept espoused in Napoleon Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich. As masterminders, we commit to coming together as a group on a regular basis for a coordination of knowledge and effort in a spirit of harmony between two or more people for the attainment of a definite purpose. We come together to share knowledge with one another, support each other in setting and achieving our goals, and hold one another accountable to what we commit to do for ourselves. We set goals in 10 areas of our lives: spiritual, family, health, financial, business, civic, personal, educational, recreational, creativity. You must have goals and plans if you are going to succeed in any endeavor. After all, successful people have plans. Napoleon Hill said, quote, education, knowledge, and influence are more powerful than any exchange of money, end quote. For more information about International Mastermind Association, visit us on the web, internationalmasterminders.com, or once again, Facebook the group, International Mastermind Association.
Hello, hello, and good morning, everyone, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio with the International Mastermind Association. My name is Galen Bingham, the leadership strategist, and I am back as one of the co-hosts for this morning's conversation as we continue our deep dive into Napoleon Hill's classic book, Think and Grow Rich. And today we will discuss Chapter 12, The Brain, the Broadcasting and Receiving Station for Thought. And it is also the 12th step to riches. Later in the show, oh my gosh, later in the show, you're going to hear from this week's special guest. And she is a real estate broker. She's a speaker, Miss Lori Pace. You know, have you ever met someone and just know immediately that this is someone that you should have known most of your life? Well, you're going to have that opportunity today. She is absolutely amazing, and I can't wait for you to have that conversation or hear that conversation. And speaking of a conversation, we really want you to join. So don't just sit back and listen. Get next to your phone and pre-dial 661-554-9219 and be prepared to hit number one so that you can join the conversation. We'd love to hear from you, your thoughts, your comments, your questions, and especially as you listen to our special guest, you're going to want to be a part of this conversation. Helping us to guide this conversation are two more really, really amazing co-hosts, and as I introduce each of them, I'm going to ask them to share a little bit about themselves. The first is Ms. Ursula Odom. She is the owner of Sula 2 Publishing, and yes, I say this every time. I love the name of your company. Please come into the conversation and share a little bit about yourself.
Good morning. Yes, I am Ursula Odom, CEO of Sula 2, and we make old new in everything we do. If you're worried about your legacy and if what you're doing matters to the universe, well, worry no more, because we capture, preserve, and present your legacy information in any form possible, from books to documentary to live performances. Because your story, it matters.
Fantastic. Well, thank you. And I am so excited to have you be a part of this conversation.
The International Mastermind Association is a group of like-minded individuals.
This is going to be absolutely historic. So next, our next co-host is Ms. Ann McNeil, the master builder. Ms. Ann, please join the conversation, share with the audience who you are and why you are so amazing if they don't know you already.
Well, that was a great introduction about the International Mastermind Association, because that is who I am, Ann McNeil, the master builder, helping you to create a strategic life plan and a blueprint for your life. And as the founder of the International Mastermind Association, I am excited about our guest today and also our co-host. But once again, Galen, we're going to have a phenomenal show as we help individuals learn how to use their brain.
Well, fantastic. Well, fantastic. This is, again, as you said, this is going to be an amazing show. I think almost historic, just listening to some of the pre-conversations that we've had. My name, again, is Galen Bingham. I am the leadership strategist. I am a World Coach Certified Executive Coach who specializes in helping leaders, particularly in the consumer packaged goods industry, but really any leader who is trying to crush important goals and conquer stubborn problems. I'm also founder of Inspired Mastermind Group with our next session beginning January 20th, 2020, and would love for you to be a part of that. Stay in touch and get online and make sure that we are able to get in touch with you for that session. Want to go to a commercial break here shortly. But like I said, I'm really, really excited about our guest. She is really, really passionate about this area that she's in. She's even gone as far as to form a brand new term, philanthropy, which you're going to learn a lot about, where it's combining a philanthropy with urban development, with property ownership. She is just absolutely amazing, and can't wait for you to be a part of that conversation. So let's take a listen to the 13 steps of Napoleon Hill's success formula that's outlined in Think and Grow Rich. And on the other side, a conversation with Ms. Lori Pace.
Number one is desire. Napoleon Hill said that everything starts with a burning desire, a compelling reason for doing what it is we do. Step two is faith, having belief in our ability to attain that which we desire. Step three is what we call autosuggestion. Autosuggestion simply means being very intentional about the things that we are pouring into our thoughts, into our brains, and into our consciousness. Our brains, our minds, will receive everything automatically. But we have to work extra hard to make sure that the positive things are what we are feeding ourselves, because those positive thoughts are going to turn into positive actions. Step number four is specialized knowledge. No one person knows everything, even about whatever their particular area of expertise might be. And the value of the mastermind principle is using the specialized knowledge of other people. Step number five is imagination, the workshop of the mind. Everything starts with our imagination and our thoughts, the burning desire to transform those thoughts into our reality. In order to do that, we have to take a look at step six, which is organized planning. That is how we crystallize our desire into action, organizing ourselves. Having the thought and not acting on the thought isn't going to get us anywhere. We have the thought, we go through the organized planning to transform that thought into action. Step number seven is decision. What Napoleon Hill said is the mastery of procrastination. Napoleon Hill said that the antidote to procrastination is simply to make a decision and then move on that decision. Step eight is persistence. We have to have a sustained effort, which is induced by our faith, in order to achieve our goals. One of Napoleon Hill's books I love, even the title, 3 Feet from Gold. Those people who became rich during the gold rush in the Wild Wild West days didn't do that because they were necessarily smarter or had better information than anyone else. It's because they stayed just a little bit longer. Sometimes people left when they were just literally 3 feet from gold. So hanging in there, being persistent, is step number eight. Step number nine, the power of the mastermind, the driving force. None of us can accomplish anything on our own. Everybody, I don't care who you are, from the most prominent person to the person who might be considered the lowest on the totem pole, everybody has someone who helped them get to where they are. And the power of the mastermind is being able to use those influences around us. Use the thoughts, use the knowledge, use the exploration of other people to help us in achieving our goal. Step number 10, the mystery of sex transmutation. This title can be a little confusing, but essentially what the mystery of sex transmutation means is that we oftentimes in our society think of sex as being purely physical. It is absolutely physical, but what Napoleon Hill teaches us is that sex also has an emotional element, and that sex is the strongest of our desires. That if we can take our sexual energy, transform that into positive, creative influences, it can propel us to new heights. And so we spend quite a bit of time talking about the mystery of step 10, which is sex transmutation. Step number 11 is the subconscious mind, which Napoleon Hill tells us is the connecting leap between our human mind and the infinite intelligence, the source of all thought, the source of all creativity. Conscious mind, we spent some time talking about how we use that through the influence of autosuggestion and what we're feeding into our mind. Step number 12, which is the brain, the broadcasting and receiving station of thought. Final step number 13, the sixth sense, the door to the temple of wisdom. This is the final step through which infinite intelligence may and will communicate voluntarily without any effort from or demands by the individual. The principle is the apex of the philosophy. It can be assimilated, understood, and applied only by first mastering the other 12 principles.
For more information about the International Mastermind Association, visit internationalmasterminders.com or on Facebook, visit the group International Mastermind Association. The name of the book is Think and Grow Rich, the original version restored and revised by Napoleon Hill. ISBN 1-593-30-2002. That ISBN number again, 1-593-30-2002.
Welcome back, and you are listening to Blog Talk Radio, and we are getting ready to go into a deep dive with our guest, Ms. Lori Pace. She is a native of one of my favorite places on the entire planet, Jamaica, West Indies. She's built her life and career in Denver, Colorado, for the past 30 years. She's got an appreciation for buildings and entrepreneurship, which was influenced by her father, and she has just done so many amazing things in Denver. And she has a degree in environmental design with a concentration in architecture and urban planning. And just the way that those two concepts come together are just absolutely mind-blowing. She's also a keynote speaker and a trainer on diversity and inclusion in the workplace with an emphasis on the real estate industry. Her passion for real estate has culminated in serving as the board director for the Denver Metropolitan Association for Realtors, and she is just really, really an amazing person. We've had a lot of really, really good conversation as we got ready for this particular show, even to the point where we had to just decide not to talk anymore because the conversation was just so amazing. So with that, Lori, I'd love to bring you in. Please join the conversation. Tell the audience a little bit about yourself and how we got to being able to share the same microphone very early on a Saturday morning. Would love to have you join.
Great. Thank Lori. You. Good morning. So I am thrilled to be a part of this group in so many ways, and I never would have imagined is what I would have said months ago, and now I can say with confidence that I imagined this long before I could realize that I would be here with all of you. So I'm grateful for the opportunity. So as you mentioned, I originally came from Jamaica, and my parents came to the United States in the 60s, my dad to go to architecture school in New York, and from there went back to Jamaica trying to figure out the American dream because he thought working hard and getting a degree was enough. And then coming to Jamaica, that's where I came to be, and they realized that wealth was needed to be created
in the United States to pass it on to us. So they returned back to the United States along with myself. And since then, I've been building this plan that they started years ago to create generational wealth through real estate. For them, it was through architecture and working hard. My mom was a nurse. So I'm a nurturer by genetics and a designer by also genetics via my
Fantastic. I can appreciate the nurturer part by genetics. There's some things that just get into us. One of the things that you've said a couple of times, I'd love for you to go into more before we jump into the book, is you mentioned generational wealth, and that's a very interesting concept that has different meanings for different people. So I'd love to get your thoughts on what does it mean to create generational wealth?
For me, initially, it started with the idea of a legacy, of being able to pass something on to my children. But as I started digging into what a legacy meant and what it meant to women in particular and how women pass on their legacy, I started to see a lot of references to social and philanthropic endeavors. But when I went deeper to history of our pharaohs and empress, I started recognizing that women have had a long-standing relationship with land, real estate, and communities, which inspired me to come up with how can I do something in my day and age based on our ancestry and pass on not only property to my children, but the ability to create wealth by leveraging real estate and creating endowments through our charitable giving. Instead of buying tables for charities, we would buy property. So that's how that came to be with me, and I've been figuring out a plan of action to do that through my industry in real estate, and it all came together to this concept that I'm sharing with you all today.
Yeah, talk a little bit more about this this new term that you've created. What does that mean? And it's kind of audacious to say, I'm going to create this brand new term, philanthropy. Well, how did that come about? And tell us a little bit more about that.
The concept of philanthropy, I said initially that it would be either a noun or a verb, and I couldn't figure out what this word meant. But I combined the word philanthropy and property together because I unapologetically now went into design and architecture and urban planning. When I was told by a teacher at a predominantly white university that I would not make it in the world of architecture and urban planning as a black woman, and that it would be a challenging feat for me to do. And I knew that was not true because my dad was an architect, so I debunked that. As a result of that, I wasn't able to move forward in that class, which would have prevented me from getting my degree in design. And I was forced into taking another class, which at the time I was very angry about because it was in the master's program, and it was a makeup class. Well, it turns out this makeup class was Real Estate 101. So while this door was closing, what I thought was going to be the end of my career opened up another door, and it wasn't until 35 years later that I realized that it was destined for me to start in architecture as a world of real estate, thinking that I would do buildings, and now I'm talking about the land in which the buildings are built on. And so the idea of philanthropy is how can I turn my efforts of serving community my entire life, which what my mom had taught me to do, with what my dad had genetically passed on, is to building stronger communities. So I brought together the idea of philanthropy and property, and the word philanthropy, what started off as just a word, is now in my mind a movement, creating opportunity for women around the world to get behind the idea of passing on generational wealth.
Wow. Well, look at all the blessings that was created by one hating teacher in your life. So thank goodness for that hater, right?
Yeah.
So let's
My
talk a little bit about
I would say my 16-year-old asked me if I remember the name of the teacher so I can go back and say thank you, and that's the beauty of having children. It never occurred to me that I should go back to see who that is.
Ah, man, I'll tell you, that's great. That's great. So now we were talking a little bit before the show about your relationship to the book Think and Grow Rich, and how the more times you read it, like me, every time I read the book, I'm convinced someone is sneaking in to my cupboard at night and putting additional words in my book. And you had a similar experience where you were discussing that before the show about how some of the people in history started talking with you and giving you advice and encouragement. Could you share a little bit of that?
Sure. I would say I'm dyslexic, but I was diagnosed as being dyslexic, and I've learned now that's my gift. So I struggled with how I learned initially, and now I realize that it was very purposeful. So I end up going to college on a leadership scholarship based on what I'd been doing in the community. And through this leadership program, we were introduced to the book Think and Grow Rich. And so this was in the early 90s. And so I learned these principles in college, but really didn't have the experience to put the principles with an action plan. So through the years, I eventually came across another version of Think and Grow Rich, The Black Choice, through the author at the time who talked about it from the perspective of being a black man and the black culture, which again didn't really have any relevance to me because I didn't know how to put this into an action plan. And then now here I am years later through the Speakers Association and Black NSA did a mastermind group, which I wasn't sure why and what. But through this, I started to see all these years of what I called accidents and opportunities turn out to be an action plan and organizing how to bring something to just a concept to a reality by working with other people who had better thoughts, greater thoughts, and combined together for this concept of philanthropy. It became the roadmap and the blueprint. So the irony was it used to just be a concept, and then this became my guide and principal way to create this way of bringing together people from different social economic backgrounds to utilize and leverage their strengths and come up to create this true generational wealth by giving people a blueprint. And that became the mastermind concept of Think and Grow Rich.
Fantastic. Boy, that just really highlights how the universe is always at work creating what it wants to be or who it wants to be. So this is great. I am just so happy to have this opportunity to have this conversation with you on the show. And I know a few more people that would love to join our conversation. So we're going to take a very, very brief commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to bring in both Ursula Odom and Ms. Ann McNeil as we continue this conversation on Chapter 12, The Brain, which is Chapter 12 of Napoleon Hill's classic book, Think and Grow Rich.
You are listening to the Blog Talk Radio program of the International Mastermind Association. We are here every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. You can listen to this and the other shows anytime on the web by visiting blogtalkradio.com/masterminders or join us live during the show by calling 661-554-9219. The call-in number again, 661-554-9219. If you wish to join the conversation during the live show, just press 1 on your telephone keypad. You can also join us in the chat room or log on through your Facebook account.
Welcome back. We've been talking with Lori Pace, and she has been unpacking the concept that she created called philanthropy, which just amazing, this combination between philanthropy and property ownership. She's in real estate. She has gone to school for urban design, and just she has just really, really brought to life the concepts of Think and Grow Rich. Now I'd like to bring in two of my co-hosts. First, knows a little bit about legacy herself, Ms. Ursula Odom.
Thank you. I am so excited about this conversation. I'm going to just jump into a couple of questions that I have. The touch point that helps me understand what you're saying and also form a question is that at one point I was in a behind the scenes in an insurance class, and I was listening to questions from inside a class that I was not attending. I was studying in the back. And the question came up about a person wanting to buy a policy for a couple of million dollars to donate to someone. Well, at the time, that was like mind-blowing for me that people would buy life insurance on themselves to give away the money. And then I was in a class or a workshop or retreat where a 70-year-old woman was talking about an 80-year game plan for her property, and she had about 1,000 acres. And so my question, when you put those two together and the word endowment, is how does this work? When you're talking about property, so do you donate the property outright, or do you donate proceeds from the property? I mean, I love the idea.
Oh, I'm so glad you asked. So I designed a concept, and I'm going to give you a little history behind it. When I was trying to figure out where all this wealth came from the Kennedys to the Rockefellers and even now the Obamas, I noticed that there had to be a specific tool. And it turns out that the mass wealth in the world has happened through trust and trust funds. And I'd heard of the concept of trust fund baby, but I thought, how do you go from the idea of someone giving you money to putting that into real estate? So through that, I learned about a real estate investment trust, which is a private fund that was designed in 1968. That was by men through legislation in Eisenhower, put it into our government system, allowing people to pool and crowdfund so that they can invest into large pieces of real estate and get high yields of return on their investment, which to date is the highest and best use of real estate funds in order for people to own such things as institutions and large buildings and multifamily. So when I thought of how do I turn this into something that I can use myself, I realized that there's something to be said about the 1960s. While Martin Luther King was thinking about civil rights and women were thinking about voting rights, these men were constructing a concept of a real estate investment trust. So I thought, well, behind every great man is a woman. So I'm putting a W in front of it, is a woman's real estate investment trust, making sure that the W is not silent anymore as women, and putting together a trust fund, which allows people to put in an investment amount, regardless of the amount, and this trust fund is used to purchase, acquire property, and or sell, using those proceeds to then invest into more property and other endowments, i.e. the philanthropic side of it. So this fund is then put together, put into philanthropy, and that endowment can then continue to go on, as you mentioned, for the next 1,000 years. So the real estate investment trust, the concept of the mastermind is that you can have a young woman in high school and college partnered with someone who is in the workplace, partnered with somebody who has a trust and understands the idea, along with someone perhaps in a financial institution. So from a social economic standpoint, you can gather people who can invest $100 to a foundation that might already have $100 million in it. And this is the concept of the mastermind, by using the power and thoughts of not only different socioeconomic, but also the different generations, and combining all of these ideas and building it together to purchase and acquire more real estate.
Okay, so thank you for that. My goodness, I have another obsession.
Yes. And really the idea,
yeah, so I mean,
you mentioned it, is I thought, you know, women often talk about buying purses, and I thought, well, no more purses, we need property. And so the trust is to give people the idea that you don't need purses, you need more property.
And I totally love this, because the reason I'm interested is that my family has land that transferred from generation to generation, and it was primarily women that did it. Started out with a lot of men, but the women are the ones that held on to it. So this is really wonderful for me.
Which is, you know, I have to say, it's pretty rare in particularly African-American communities, and not so rare in other communities. And so my parents told me, just work hard and go to school and buy a house and be happy. I didn't realize that a portfolio was the way to buy real estate, that you have mm-hmm. to have real estate that creates income, not just a place to reside. And so I would be the first generation to be able to pass it on through real estate whereas their thought was they wanted to have a second generation for going to college. Now I'm taking it to the next level and adding real estate to the mix.
Right.
I love the way you're building on what your parents gave you. And speaking of building, I'd love to bring in our next co-host, who is the master builder, and she does a lot of generational knowledge building herself. So, Miss Ann, are you ready to join the conversation?
Ready, always ready, always ready. And I have been enjoying this. And we talked earlier about the impact of your imagination when we talked about the brain and how you shared in our pre-call, actually, about how the book helped you to crystallize some of these principles in what you're actually doing. And so when we go back to the what I'd like to have you do is when we go back to how you came to this point. Galen talked about the book, but can you share, and these are my two questions, can you share with us, please, the impact of your experience inside of the Black NSA Mastermind and this chapter in particular? When you think about the fact that Napoleon Hill talks about our brains are broadcasting stations for thought, you know, as we receive and send these emotions, if you will. And so if you can go back and share some comments you were making about the power of the imagination with your brain, with auto-suggestion and the infinite intelligence, and the impact that that has on everything you've discussed up to this point, and how powerful the use of the brain. Because we want to make sure that our listeners understand when you got to this point, it was utilizing a lot of principles. These are some, not all, but the power of the brain and just how do you use your brain in coming up with ideas like this. So there's two questions, please. One dealing with the Black NSA and the other dealing with the comments you made about the imagination and the use of your brain in terms of this concept and other things too. Thank you.
Oh, well, thank you. When we originally were talking about doing this conversation and you said it was about the chapter on the brain, it was one of those vibrational experiences that I could hardly hold in because a year ago I had a back surgery and the surgeon told me that your spine is really where your brain sends its signal. And that I would ultimately have a rebirth. And so I said to myself, if I was able to survive this surgery, that I would be purposeful about how I thought about what I did in the future. And that brought me eventually to the Black NSA group and the mastermind, where I started to use my brain in ways that I hadn't used before. And listening to people involved in the program and listening to the ideas and concepts, I started to become very clear as to why I was here in the group and that this was really the place that I needed to develop this concept. And each week that we spoke, the idea started flowing, and then I started building this concept around these thoughts of positive thoughts instead of thinking about the negativity of what's happening in our environment right now and how can I change that. And so the book was very important because it was a rebirth of my brain and starting to use my brain in ways I hadn't before, which was a combination with my imagination. And so the network became more than just ideas. It became the plan for developing my net worth plan, which happened every week as I listened to other people talk about their experiences in life and what they were experiencing in their businesses as well. Because I really had convinced myself that I'm not motivated by money. And so I buried myself into philanthropic work by serving. But I realized the best way I could serve these different charities was to be able to invest financially so that they could survive. And that's how I learned by listening to other people in the mastermind group, how they were building their network and started to say, perhaps I am motivated by money because now I know that money can help and it's not an evil. So the group itself taught me lessons. So from being a speaker, I thought I was going to speak a lot, but I found out that I was listening more and learning more.
Thank you.
Wow, it's interesting, those phrases that we learn and get embedded in us as a youth, such as that money is evil, how if we're not careful, that will absolutely infect us. But I always like to say that money is only important if you don't die tomorrow. So I know that there are a lot of organizations that are glad that you're focused on also earning money to support them. One of the things that I want to ask you about as I was listening to and doing a little research on your talks, you have a lot of references to Madam C.J. Walker in your talk. And there's a photo in particular that has just really captured my imagination. And it's just describe that photo of all these women standing in front of a building. And I think in our pre-conversation, I even mentioned the fact that that photo is impossible, that that photo was never supposed to be taken. Could you talk a little bit more about how that has impacted your approach to your work and how that impacts how you think about things that you're focused on now?
Yes. In fact, I'm a very visual person, and along in the book where we're talking about the brain, they talked about the intangible force versus the tangible. And I knew that my imagination and what I was thinking about was intangible. And I started to look up images of women and real estate and wealth. And Madam C.J. Walker kept on popping in my head because she was one of the first self-made millionaire as a woman. So I thought, I wonder if she owns any real estate. So as I started doing research, I started to notice that her blueprint of real estate was to create an estate that allowed her to bring women around the country to conferences to teach them their ideas, concept of door-to-door selling and being a person in sales. I was intrigued by that. The idea of a conference became really open in my mind as I was thinking about the mastermind group and the fact that we all come together at a conference concept and that we mastermind. So I started looking at the picture and saying, this picture of these women at her estate that has now been transformed into a historic way of transferring information, this picture means more now than it ever meant before. Because for me, the visualization of a woman entrepreneur was important. But when I was growing up, I heard about the Rockefellers, I heard about the Carnegies, and I thought that was my idea of creating a legacy. When I found out that Madam C.J. Walker was the neighbor of the Rockefellers, like you said, it was chilling because I was thinking all of these women in this estate are learning. And as a result, today I'm looking at that picture as a reminder as to why I'm doing this. And that picture was taken many years ago, and now it has a lot of relevance to me. And I later found out that Madam C.J. Walker spent time in Denver, and that's when she started to formulate this concept of Think and Grow Rich, really. And she got together with another woman who had earned her wealth through her husband, and they were rebels here in Denver, and they came up with this idea of creating a sales force. So again, this wealth transformation came through, she said, and I quote it almost, is that she knew that this home would act as the groundbreaking place for women to create wealth. And so now I'm carrying on her legacy indirectly.
Wow, that is great. That is great. And I think we, do we have a caller? Do we have a question coming in from a caller?
Hi, sure. Good morning. This is Kathy Woodhouse, and I just wanted to echo what Lori was talking about. Madam C.J. Walker, I was looking at her mansion last night. It's called Villa Monaro.
Yes. Okay?
Please look it up. You can take a virtual tour. It is beautiful, and that's where it happened. It's the culmination of her legacy. Just wanted to share that with you, Lori. We're on the same page. Awesome. Thank you.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, I had no idea. That was never really my thought. I was trying to figure out how she made money, and when I started looking at the real estate piece of it and what it's meant to her family and what it's meaning to the communities now, I didn't know that she had already had this concept of philanthropy because she was known for her philanthropic giving. And again, it was, I look at it as I'm volume two of that. And if I can find a way to do that in a way using modern day tools, such as a real estate investment trust, I believe that's what she would want from our ancestors to pass that on. Because I share with people all the time, we used to be considered property, and she being the daughter of slaves, now I'm selling property.
Oh, just I have to interject one second here, Galen, one second. The guest that just called in, how powerful. And this is the power to me of the brain connecting with other brains. What would be the likelihood that our guest would have done that tour last night and not knowing that, our caller would have done the tour last night and our guest comes on talking about a connection between the two. I just had to share that. That is so, it's so like the book. It's like the principles and thinking and growing rich and how infinite intelligence and the brain and the sixth sense and all these things come together when we tap into like spirits and like minds in the spirit of a mastermind concept. It, you know, for any desire, it's possible. That's what all of this is about. How do you achieve that desire? Thank you.
And then the caller said something that said the virtual tour. As I said, my world is design and creating this idea of building communities and design. And the fact that through modern technology, we can experience going through her home through technology. And you were looking at a virtual tour last night. It's one of those things that you can't make up. And the fact that that happened to be last night and here we are, as Anne said, who would have known that these two concepts were coming together through our thought process?
Yeah, the universe is always working, and it's our responsibility to inform the universe on what it is we want them to work on. So I think this is a great example of that. And the power of connecting with like minds, right? And I'd like to go to a commercial, and I think in this commercial you're going to hear about an opportunity to do just that, an opportunity to connect with like minds, to really get into focus what it is that you want your experience here on this earth to be. What's the destination that you're moving towards? And I can't think of a better opportunity to do that than at the annual meeting that we're about to hear about in this next commercial.
Are you having problems adhering to your goals? Is your life coming to a standstill because of procrastination and failure to meet deadlines? You can change that by attending the International Mastermind Association Annual Accountability Meeting on January 4th of 2020. Our meeting will enlighten you and help you grow rich. Commence your year with an effective blueprint developed with accountability expert Anne McNeil. Attend this meeting and transform your life by listening to her teachings on changing your thinking and growing rich. Our annual meeting gives you a chance to reestablish your purpose and focus on your goals. Get renewed and inspired by attending this meeting at the Embassy Suites in Boca Raton from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. Purpose to attend and learn to develop a successful and effective blueprint of success in thinking and growing rich. Do not come alone. Tag along with family and friends. Simply register at www.internationalmasterminders.com/events. Please follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. Don't forget to follow our page and post your questions or comments.
Well, I know that I am definitely planning on being there, and I hope that everyone listening is planning to be there as well. As a matter of fact, when you show up, I would be so honored to know that you've listened to the show, as would all of the co-hosts, and would love to just meet everyone. So definitely plan on being in Boca Raton for the annual meeting. At this point, I'd like to bring in all the co-hosts to share ahas that they've received from this conversation. Before we do that, I just want to circle back to Lori because you had some other interesting points that you wanted to share about the mansion from Madam C.J. Walker.
You know, I just was reminded that the architect of Madam C.J. Walker's home was a black man. He was the first licensed architect in New York as a black man. And it was really important at that time because all of the other estates in the area were not built by black men. And the irony now with my father being a black architect and me using this as not doing architecture anymore, but the estate side of it, of passing it on. So it was important to me to know that, again, history is repeating itself, but in a different form. And here we are now looking at how can we make that into something that is purposeful. And that becomes the organized thoughts that have come through what I call my years of procrastination has now come to fruition. And it's time to put a plan together and take some action.
Well, fantastic. Well, I think that's a great opportunity to bring in my co-host and share key ahas that you've gotten from this conversation. And let's go ahead and start with Ms. Ursula Odom.
Okay, so I'm sitting here living in my aha right now. It's like, okay, she has put together a lot of different aspects of things that I'm interested in and that I've had little bits and pieces in my life. And so my aha is to go back and analyze exactly how to do some of the things that she has just made me realize is totally possible, and then to share it with family and friends, because people let opportunities slip because they have no idea that the possibilities are there, and she just opened that wide open. So, and when we were talking about the brain, this may sound a little weird, but I feel like Anne said, when we got on today, maybe there was a reason that all of us are supposed to be hearing this today, because we each have been positioned to understand it and receive it. So now the question is, why?
Very good. Very good. Okay. Miss Anne, are you still available to share your ahas? What's your key takeaway from this conversation?
Absolutely, absolutely. My biggest aha was the connection with what the guest caller talked about with Madam C.J. Walker and how phenomenal those connections are. The other one is the comment that you made about vibrational rebirth of thought, and how in becoming a part of the mastermind group for Black NSA and having an opportunity to have your brain connecting with other brains and being able to have that information connected to what you now know as your
philanthropy, let it roll off your tongue.
The term philanthropy? Philanthropy.
Feels good to say it.
So those, yes, for real estate. Those were my aha moments, Galen, and I'm just really resonating with a lot of what's being said, because also her background, similar to mine in terms of construction, and just having naysayers in your life say what you cannot do and then you push through anyway. But I keep going back to this broadcasting and receiving station for thought, also being called our brain, and oftentimes we don't think about how we connect with other brains. Sometimes we can come in contact with people and you say, no, we don't know why. You know, you can't put your finger on why there's no connection. Then there are some people you just connect with and you say, wow, what a powerful connection, like this call, like this radio show, and the guests. Listeners who are listening now and those who may listen in the future. So I'm just very excited. Those are my aha moments.
And I have to say,
fantastic. You know, I
didn't know initially when I joined
mastermind
group. I thought it was just speakers in this group, and it turns out it was far greater than that. And the fact that a Black woman who was leading the charge of building through construction and taking it to the next level, was one of those extra gifts that I never intended to look at as part of the reason why this became clear, because through construction, I constructed this idea. And to find out that I was looking to you as a mentor, as a speaker, I had no idea you were in the world of construction and building. So again, it's one of those things that who would have known, and I needed to hear other people talk about what they're doing in their world for me to formulate these concepts.
This is Ursula. I'd like to
say
one more thing that I had thought about prior to the show, but then just totally forgot about it because of how fantastic the show has been so far, is when we were talking about the brain and how thought goes from one person to the other. To help me understand it, I thought about the wind. It's like we know the wind is there, but we actually cannot see it, but we know it exists. So it made me wonder, okay, so is that how thoughts move? They move from a person to person. We cannot see it, but they're there. So if we believe in the wind, why can't we believe in the fact that people can transfer thoughts?
Yes, and just what Galen was saying early on, those women, we can't see their thoughts, but now we can feel it. And just that ancestry of whether it's from slavery or the Holocaust, the fact that we can't see that history, but now we have a chance to make that tangible and do something with that history, and going from thought to making it tangible in real estate.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so a couple of my ahas. One is, again, just another evidence that someone is breaking into my study at night and changing the words on the paper, because the actual subtitle to this chapter is The Broadcasting and Receiving Station for Thought. And, you know, this whole idea of radio waves or waves, in order to tune in to any station, you've got to be tuned into the station. You can't just have a radio in your office and expect all this information to come. You've got to dial into the right station. And that's why it's so important to get around like-minded people that are trying to do the same thing that you're doing, that they're trying to get to the same destination, because then you're going to pick up on those wavelengths. You're going to contribute to someone else's vision, but you've got to be dialed into the right station. Just buying this book and having it sit on your shelf like I did for 20 plus years does absolutely no good. You've got to get dialed in to a mastermind group, attend the annual meeting. You've got to get dialed in. And then the other aha that I got, I'm not positive if we talked about it on the show, but we definitely talked about it in the pre-show. You said something about feeling like your ancestors were nudging you and that your descendants were waiting on you. And just this idea that there is a reason and an urgency for you executing against the dreams that you have. There is no accident that you've got a passion and that you've got education and that you've had the trials that you've had, and that teachers that have spoken ill into your future and your reaction, that's no accident. But you've got to do something with it. And it's so easy to get distracted by watching Desperate Housewives of some place or watching Love and Hip Hop of some place. And, you know, there's place for entertainment. These to help you realize the vision that your ancestors are nudging you to fulfill, and your descendants are waiting for you and counting on you to fulfill. So I got that from our conversation, and boy, that's going to mess with me for a bit.
And it's ironic.
Lori,
I was just saying it's ironic now that we have a president that built his wealth through real estate and is now trying to reverse time. And so Eisenhower and the men who came up with the idea of a real estate investment trust, the whole presidency and trying to keep people away from understanding what the code is, and the cracking of the code is that formula of purchasing real estate. You know, he's leading a country or lack thereof through protecting not only the mindset of his ancestors who were trying to keep us down, but the whole idea of real estate is where he built his wealth and is trying to protect it by going backwards in history. And so it was one of those moments where how can we reverse that? And it's through philanthropy.
Love it. Love it. Any key ahas from you, Lori, as we come to the close of the show? What are some of the key receiving ways that you've gotten from this conversation?
The fact that all of us that have spoken together today have a connection to this, what I thought was this idea that was small, from the concept of legacy when I was researching legacy, and to know that one of us on the phone here, Ursula, was talking about that is what her world has been about, was legacy. I thought it was just this concept, and yet this is the world that she's in. And having the connection to Madam C.J. Walker's ideas and concepts, and then Miss Anne in the world of construction and building and keeping together the thoughts through building this mastermind, and being included in what I thought was going to be a leads group was far beyond a leads group. It truly was a mastermind. And the whole concept of slavery and ownership being called by a master. And here we are now turning that upside down and using it as a collaboration. And then again, as you said, Galen, knowing that here we have three women who are talking about this concept, and you say, you know, it's like we broke into your study. The fact that this collaboration is all coming together with similar thoughts and just figuring out what do we do next, it's no mystery. We have the blueprint through the mastermind concept and Think and Grow Rich.
Well, fantastic. How can people get a hold of you if they want to learn more about philanthropy or they want to work with you in some other capacity? How can they get a hold of you?
Interesting enough, I'm new to this world of spreading the word. So I have a website, lauriepace.com. And in that website is an opportunity to reach out to me via email, and I just collect that information. But I'm just in the baby stages of understanding how to spread this word through social media and other means. So this is just my launch. As I shared this idea at TEDx, and now I've put it on the website, and hopefully it becomes more developed from here.
Well, fantastic. Well, we have absolutely enjoyed this conversation and having you on the show, and I hope people will reach out to you to hear your story, because I regret that we only have an hour to spend, because I could definitely talk to you for days and days and days and just grow together. I just want to encourage everyone to join the annual meeting that's happening in Boca Raton on January 4th. Your life will be forever changed, and this is going to be your one opportunity to set a plan for your life, set a plan for how do you achieve these goals that you've talked about for years. In the work that I do with executive coaching, I often tell my clients that you're either going to do it or you're going to stop talking about it. Well, this annual meeting is your opportunity to do just that. Either do it, set up plan for how you're going to achieve these goals, or challenge yourself to stop talking about these goals if you're actually not going to do it. So I'm going to challenge everyone to be there. My name is Galen Bingham. I am the leadership strategist. I would love to hear from you if there's any way I can help you crush your most important goals. You can reach me at www.galenbingham.com. As always, when I have the opportunity to host this show, I'd like to leave you with a quote. And this quote is Beans Wall quote number 81 from Seth Godin. And Seth Godin says, "You can either raise the bar or you can wait for others to raise it. But either way, it's getting raised." Thank you. And thank you for listening to Blog Talk Radio, International Mastermind.
For more information about the International Mastermind Association, visit internationalmasterminders.com. Or on Facebook, visit the group International Mastermind Association. The name of the book is Think and Grow Rich, the original version restored and revised by Napoleon Hill. ISBN 1-593-30-2002. That ISBN number again, 1-593-30-2002.